All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can gather here to worship you, that we can gather and fellowship with one another. Father, that we can come into this place with expectation of hearing from your Holy Spirit this morning. And Father, and that's what I pray, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And I definitely rely on your Spirit, taking whatever words I put together and making them into something that's usable. And I just thank you so much for who you are and who you are in our lives. And Father, I pray that as we go through this experiencing God, that we truly would experience you more, experience you on a higher level, on a more intimate level, that we really get an overwhelming understanding of who you are, that you are God, and that you love us more than we can comprehend. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So just again, by way of reminder, the connection cards there in the back, you can use those for prayer requests, you can use those for praises, to make any corrections or additions or those kinds of things. And then in your bulletin, just a reminder that the new phone directories and or the phone list and the directories are all out in the hospitality area. So the picture directories are there, the phone lists are there. And then also just we want to let you know that we could still use some help second service in kids church and nursery. So if you can help with that, give it a try. It might be something you don't think God might want you to do, but you never know. Give it a try. You can talk to Shannon and Julie about that. All right. Yes. So we're continuing our series here on experiencing God. Just by way of a little bit of review from last week, we looked at, it was the topic was God's invitation, him inviting us to participate with him. Some of the prerequisites would be that we need to know God, first of all. And we looked at that term, the I am, and I was just thinking as Lynn was talking this morning about the list of his names, pretty big list, and it kind of keeps growing. And the thought came to me that, when Moses said, well, what's your name? Well, you want me to give you the list? It was just easier to tell them, I am. Which covers all the names. Because what we saw was when God says, I am, what he's saying is, I am present. I am present always. And we need to love God, and we need to obey God. And then the invitation itself, we saw that part of that process would be praying and listening and watching and adjusting. And we're going to look a little bit more at that today, too. That as God invites us, we need to pay attention. So today we're looking at God speaks. God speaks. And we see that God spoke in times past. Hebrews 1:1 tells us that God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. So in the past, there was many different ways that God spoke. He spoke through the prophets, who would then tell the people what God said. But we see other things in the Old Testament too. We see this, the angel of the Lord. When Moses went to the burning bush, it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the midst of the bush. Gideon, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. The angel of the Lord is what they would call a theophany. In other words, it's the Lord appearing. It's God appearing. Because what you will see is there was a difference between the angel of the Lord and an angel. Many times when the angel of the Lord showed up, people worshiped. And the angel of the Lord didn't say not to. But when the angels showed up, and if someone tried to worship, the angel would say, no, don't worship me, because they were just an angel. We saw an angel appeared to Mary. There was many appearances where they came and spoke. They were a messenger of God telling somebody, here's what God has to say. Here's what he wants you to do. And then also Jesus in times past. When Jesus came into the world, 1 John 1 talks about that he was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, lived with mankind, and was speaking directly to mankind. We see this happening in the Gospels. Also, one other instance in the Old Testament, something else that spoke to man was a donkey. Just saying. It's amazing what God can use. He can even use me. God is very creative. And then in these present times, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ have been given the Holy Spirit of God, and that is how he speaks to us. Excuse me. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 it says, "Do you not know that you, those of you that have accepted Christ, are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Have you ever really thought about that one? I mean, that literally the Holy Spirit of God lives within every believer. And the reason that he's given us the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9, says, "Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us understand who he is, what he has for us, what he says to us. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us. John 16:13. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes," this is Jesus, he's speaking to his disciples, he's telling them, "I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to come and help you. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he doesn't speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." In other words, Jesus has given us the same example of the Holy Spirit as he gave of himself, where he said, "I don't do anything on my own initiative. I do what the Father tells me. I do what the Father says to do." And he's saying the same thing about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit does, speaks to us, gives us what the Father says to do. The problem is, there's this sin nature that lives within us, and we struggle with doing what the Spirit says. And that's people who are believers. But what about those who are not believers? 1 Corinthians 2 says, "But a natural man," in other words, someone who's not accepted Christ, "does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." You know, is it no wonder that the world looks at those of us who are believers and thinks we're kind of crazy? That we speak foolishness. They look at the Bible and they say, "Yeah, it's just a bunch of stories. It doesn't make any sense." Because they're not spiritual beings in the sense that they've not accepted Christ. So they don't understand the things of the Spirit. When the Spirit reveals truth to us, one of the things, or it's kind of a, I guess it's a list of things that we need to do is to meditate on those things. You know, you're in your quiet time or you're reading your Bible and the Spirit speaks a specific truth to you and you're just like, oh, wow, meditate on it, think about it, ruminate over it, and then watch to see what's going to happen. How is God going to use this? And we're seeing this in our study. Then we may need to make some adjustments in our lives. And then out of those adjustments, we need to act, we need to obey, and do what the Spirit reveals to us, the truth that He reveals. And we have confirmation in several areas, one of them being that those of us who've accepted Christ as Savior, we recognize His voice. Jesus gave us this example of a shepherd and sheep. This is in John 10, starting in verse 2. He says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He puts forth all his own. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." They recognize the voice. The Holy Spirit helps us to recognize God's voice. He does that through the Bible. He uses the Bible to help us know what we are to do. 2 Peter 1:20 says, "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." So you can know that your Bible that you have is put together by God. It's literally God speaking through the Holy Spirit to men to write these things down. The Bible itself is a testament to itself. If you look at how long it has lasted, and it's not been corrupted, it's the Word of God. Second Timothy 3:16 tells us that the Bible is important, that it's inspired by God, and that it is profitable for us, so that we can be about what God wants us to do, that we can be equipped for good work. And then through prayer, being that intimate time that you have with God, that time that you communicate with Him. And God says that even in prayer, He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. In Romans 8:26, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to God's will." That even in our prayer time, the Holy Spirit is there to help, to intercede for us. There's a couple more that lead to confirmation. We're going to actually be looking at these more next week. Circumstances. You know, the circumstances that God will bring about to help confirm what He's telling us. And then the church or other believers, how they work in our lives and how they're used to also confirm what the Holy Spirit says to us. And we're going to look in those a little more next week. But there's also this conflict that we have within ourselves, this sin nature, the flesh. Paul talked about it in Romans 7, probably somewhat familiar with this. It says, Paul speaking, he says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not do. But I practice the very evil I do not want." Anybody experience any of that? If you haven't, would you come talk to me? Because I want to know how you manage that. You know, and that's kind of one of the mysteries of God, is that whole thing of, you know, once we become a believer, why does he allow that flesh and that human nature to still be there? If you figure that one out, come talk to me too, because, but he does, for whatever reason, whatever God's purpose is in that. You know, I think some of it is just to show us how weak we really are. You know, if we were, you know, so filled with the Holy Spirit that he was just absolutely guiding and directing every step, every word, I think the arrogance might come in and go, oh, look at me, look how well I'm doing. You know, even Paul. I mean, you look at how great a tool Paul was for God, and yet we see that there was some, this thorn that he talks about, this some kind of affliction that God chose not to take away. And maybe that was for Paul's good, to keep him humble. Don't know. God had a reason. We need to realize that there really is no formula to understanding what God is telling us. There really is no formula to understanding the Holy Spirit. And yet, even as I say that, what comes to mind, though, is seek God first, love him with your whole being. So if you want a formula, there you go. That's the place to start. Seek God first, love God totally. You know, and there's times when God might speak to us, but most of the time doesn't give us the full picture, right? He'll say, I want you to start here. You know, Abraham's a great example where God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I want you to leave your family, leave your country, and I want you to go to this land that I'm going to show you. Well, what land? Well, I'll show you. You just start off on your journey, and I will direct you, and I will guide you. God did that with the Israelites as they left Egypt, you know, the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke. He guided them. He didn't say, well, here's the map. You know, here's where we're going. He says, no, just follow me. Doesn't always give us the whole plan. We need to realize that God works in each of us uniquely, individually. It's not going to always look the same as how God worked in someone else's life. He will tailor it to us. And then experiences can help us in understanding, but we need to be really careful with experiences, because the feelings can come in and we can say, well, this has been my experience. Well, that's fine as long as it lines up with the Bible. You know, your experience is fine as long as it doesn't contradict what the Bible might say. Because we know God through experience, right? Isn't that how we really get to know God, is through experiences, experiencing what he does. But again, all based on Scripture, developing that relationship with him. And then as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, there's things that we need to do. There's actions that we need to take. One of them is to listen completely. Listen completely. I may have shared this story with you before about listening. When I was in, I think it was in third grade, and my mom said, well, after school, you need to go to this person's house because I'm not going to be home, so go there. And so just got into class in the morning. Remember, the announcement would come over the loudspeaker? So the announcement comes over the loudspeaker for me, and it starts to talk about what I'm supposed to do, and I just, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. It had changed, and I didn't pay attention to what it said. So I went to where I thought I was supposed to go and found out, oh, no, I wasn't supposed to go there because I thought I knew what the announcement was going to be. Don't we do that with God? Oh, okay, yeah, God, I got it, and off we go. And we don't listen to the whole thing. 1 Samuel 3, young Samuel is at the temple. And it says, then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel went through this process. He kept going to Eli. Thank you. He kept going to Eli saying, well, what do you want? And Eli eventually, I mean, it's kind of, the story's kind of funny, actually. Eli eventually, it says, oh, that must be God speaking. And so he tells Samuel, well, the next time you hear this, you know, tell him, okay, I'm here, I'm listening. And so Samuel hears this again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel says, speak, for your servant is listening. We need to make sure that we're good at listening. And then once we've got it, we need to respond. And many times it needs to be an immediate response. Sometimes we take too much time, you know, and then we start thinking about it. And then we think, well, that's kind of weird. You know, I don't know if I want to do that. Jesus, as he calls his disciples, we see them making these immediate decisions. So I was looking in Mark where he's calling some of the guys, and I went back a little bit, and I found it very interesting. This is a free one, so this is, I'll just let you know. So the beginning of the passage, so this is Mark 1:14. And this is the beginning of it, and he's going to be asking these guys to follow him. It says, now after John, he's talking about John the Baptist, had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Okay, so now keep that in mind, because these guys who he's calling probably knew this. And so then he says, he's going along by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. That makes sense. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I've always wondered about this. It's like, why would they do that? So, more than likely, they already knew about Jesus. They've probably heard him speak. They've maybe seen some things that he's done. But you put that also in the context of John the Baptist was just put into jail for saying, here comes the Messiah, who was Jesus. So, you know, that may be rolling around in their heads. And yet, when Jesus comes and says, follow me, they immediately do it. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and they were in the boat mending nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. I mean, like that. Boom, they did it. Now, I also believe that it was the Holy Spirit working in them and on them and helping them to understand that this guy was the Messiah. He was the guy to follow. And yet, you know, you got to use your imagination a little bit and think about what some of these guys were going through as they were doing. I mean, they left their family. They left the business, the family business. They said, well, Pop, see you later. We're off following this guy. So you can imagine what their family's response may have been. Something else I heard this week was, so Jesus is considered kind of a rabbi, a teacher, and the disciples that a rabbi usually would call were not fishermen. Usually the disciples a rabbi might call would be somebody who already had some education. They were, you know, a different part of the population. And so some of it too may be that these guys are thinking, whoa, he's calling me? I'm going. You know, in the cultural context of what's going on there, that these guys may have looked at that and thought, wow, I can't believe he's calling me. I'm going to follow this guy. And of course, we saw then as we go through the Gospels, we see the struggle that the disciples do go through in understanding who Jesus really was. You know, initially they're thinking this amazing teacher, this amazing rabbi, and then they struggle with the whole concept of, no, he's God. He is the Messiah come to earth. God incarnate. And when God calls us, we need to not argue with him. Now, don't start giving him, you know, reasons why you can't do something or asking him to prove it more. We need to resolve right now that we will respond when the Holy Spirit speaks. You need to make that resolution in your heart, in your mind, that when the Holy Spirit speaks, you'll act. Now, sometimes acting, and this may sound contrary, but we need to wait sometimes. But it's not a lack of action in our waiting. But we're continuing to look and to meditate and consider. We're to search the scriptures and make sure we're in line with the scriptures. We're to realize that God's timing is perfect. Numbers 9:8 says, this is Moses speaking to a group who had asked a question, and he says, wait, and I will listen to what the Lord will command concerning you. And then in Psalm 27:14 it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. But I also believe that waiting is not just sitting on your hands. But it's a process of I'm waiting for further instruction. I'm waiting for God to continue to show me what the next step is rather than running out ahead of him. In James, it talks about, you know, planning. That we can make our plans. We can make our plans, but we need to make sure that our motive's right, but we also need to make sure that we're allowing for God in that planning. James 4:13, it says, now come, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you don't know what your life is going to be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. That is a great verse to memorize. James 4:17. So God is saying here, he's saying, you know, not to make plans, but to allow him to be in those plans. Allow him to be part of it and not just go blasting off on your own. Sometimes to the point where God tries to intervene and you're like, no, I've this is where I'm going. This is my plan. God, don't bother me with the details. You know, I'm... Because what God wants to do through us is what's critical. His plan is much better than ours. We need to make sure that we're denying ourselves, that we're not putting ourselves forward, that we're truly seeking to do God's will, not our will. So I put this little picture. You can go to the next. I think it's on the next one. So this is in our book, our Experiencing God book. I like the little illustrations that he's done. The Holy Spirit, as he speaks to us, he reveals the truth to us. And when he reveals the truth to us, there may be some adjustments we have to make in our life to then obey and do what God wants us to do. So as the Holy Spirit speaks, we need to meditate. We need to really think about, mull over what he's telling us. And then we need to watch and see, okay, so what's the next thing? What's God want me to do with this? And then there may be those adjustments that we have to make in our life, that what we're doing right now isn't quite on track. And so we need to make some different adjustments so that what can come out of that is our obedience or than acting on what God wants us to do. It all comes down to, and he's been saying this over and over in the series, is our relationship, that intimate, loving relationship with God. Because if we don't have that, then even if God speaks to us, we're not going to necessarily pay attention. Because we don't completely trust that what God has for us is the best. And in the short term, it may not look so good. It may look very difficult. But in the long term, in the big picture of things, God knows what he's doing. He loves us. And he wants what's best for us. And he wants what will glorify him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, that you have promised those who accept Christ as Savior that the Holy Spirit will come and live within us and help guide and direct us. And what we need to do on our part is we need to make sure we're listening intently, that we're listening for the Holy Spirit, that we're pushing that self-will aside and seeking after your will. So, Father, help us to do that as we pray, as we read your word, as we rub shoulders with one another. Father, help us to hear clearly your Holy Spirit and what he would have us do for you. What are those good works? Those good works that you say have been prepared ahead of time for us to do. Show us what those are and help us to accomplish them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good week.